George Carlin is celebrating his 60th birthday with a new book called Brain Droppings and a new video called George's Best Stuff. Carlin is the comic who said the 7 dirty words you can't say on TV. He didn't say them on TV, but when he used them in a 1972 performance, he was arrested. And when the radio station WBAI played his recording of the monologue, it led to a major FCC decision which upheld restrictions on indecent language on the radio. George Carlin first became known as one of the most popular counterculture comics of the early 70s. I spoke to him in 1990 and asked him about his famous 7 dirty words routine.
Now, part of what this routine was about was the absurdity of banning words,
yes.
The absurdity of being
yeah.
so offended
one
by language.
One would think that would be protected speech.
And an example you gave was, and I can't give the full thing, but you said you can say, don't prick your finger, but if you reverse the order of those words, that would be considered obscene.
Right.
Did the judges in the various trials get the point, do you think?
Absolutely not. I don't think they even listened. I'm sure they didn't listen to the record to hear it in its fullest and best context. I'm sure they read portions of the transcript. It's in the interest, I guess, of the white male religious corporate paramilitary state that we live in to control us. And the FCC, of course, has control only over broadcast media. And I guess they found a way to interpret that form of expression differently from the printed word and the spoken word. The argument, which I think is specious, is that because this goes out into the home, that somehow it's going to injure someone morally if it comes through the speaker. They don't take into account the fact that there is an on-off switch on every radio and there is a station selector knob for changing the station. The man who made the complaint, one of these moral commandos, a professional moralist who wants us to live his way, sat in his car with his son and listened to the entire broadcast, and I assume they were not morally degraded in any way. I assume the child has developed in a normal way in spite of listening to that routine. So where is the argument? I don't follow the damage. I don't see where the damage occurs in this language being used.
You know, Lenny Bruce always said that when he was up on obscenity charges,
yeah.
that he wished he could perform the material for the judges, you
yeah.
know, because they were hearing, you know, either reading transcriptions or they were hearing people quote the material.
A cop was doing his act.
Right, that's it.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. And, you know, Bruce really felt, well, if they're going to get what it's about, they have to hear me do it. Did you
sure.
feel that way yourself?
Well, I feel that the thing was rigged to start with, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think the outcome was inevitable. But surely it would have been fairer to the process to listen to the recording. And the other thing about it is there was a warning given, there was a disclaimer given by the radio station saying that there'll be language on this next recording, which you may find offensive. There was the point made that it was in the context of speaking about protected speech. And certainly, in that case, that has to be a redeeming artistic feature, which is one of the tests for obscenity. Of course, they didn't test it for obscenity. They called it indecency and got around the obscenity law in that manner.
Now, you were arrested in Milwaukee in 1972.
Yeah, now that was more for public, what you call it, disorderly conduct. The concert was outdoors, and the speakers, the concert setting outdoors was in a larger setting of a festival, a summer fest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the complaint was made on the basis of the fact that the language coming from these speakers flowed out of the concert area into the area of the general public. And the policeman felt that was wrong. I think his idea was, he said, there were mothers listening to this, which I don't understand at all. But at any rate, we just waited, as the lawyer told me, he said, we're going to wait a few months on this case until a judge comes around who understands the First Amendment. And apparently in Milwaukee, that took about 6 months.
Did you expect to be arrested? Did you have
No.
any idea this was coming?
Oh, absolutely not. No, and I think it was a spur-of-the-moment decision on the part of one policeman.
And how did they come get you?
Oh, they just came backstage. My wife came out on stage during the show to warn me that they were back there. She came out ostensibly to bring me a glass of water, and it was a large kind of unruly audience and everything, so an interruption like that wasn't particularly damaging to the flow of the show or anything. So she just got me aside and said, there's police backstage and they're going to arrest you. So I went off stage a different way where they weren't waiting. And at that time, I was still a user of illegal substances. And so I got rid of what I had on me so that the only arrest would be for this spoken violation and not for something else, which they would have loved to catch me doing.
George Carlin is my guest. How did you start using, quote, dirty words in your performances?
Well, I always felt that I didn't want to be denied a significant portion of the language, significant not numerically, but in terms of impact in speech. You know, I just felt that if I was forever going to avoid these words, that I was somewhat crippling my ability to express myself. I use those words in my private life. People I know do. They're valuable words for expression. They give spice and emphasis to language, and they, in the sense of comedy monologues, they can be very useful in giving characters, enhancing characterizations, and giving emphasis to ideas. So I didn't want to be crippled by not having them available to me. See, like my point is, a person like Bill Cosby is forever forbidden now to use those words publicly because people don't expect it of him. I wanted to have the choice. I think you're freer when you have a choice. I think to not use them would have made me a form of restricted speaker, and I didn't want that. So I just decided to use them so they'd always be available to me.
George Carlin recruited in 1990. He's celebrating his 60th birthday with a new book called Brain Droppings and a new video called George's Best Stuff.